Hey folks, welcome back to Indaba Africa. This is Chris. And like sands through the hourglass, these are the days of our lives. Hi, this is Chris Wyatt, and these are the days of our lives. Welcome to a conversation about the clown car show that is the African National Congress. Wow, it just never seems to end. It continues to go on, the internal bickering and fighting in the collapsing African National Congress. What's happened over the past week? Well, we saw on the 3rd of May that the National Working Committee suspended ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule after his refusal to step aside, 30 days notice. He refused to step aside, and they chose to suspend him on the 3rd of May. Thinking he's a clever young man, he in turn suspended President Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of the African National Congress and of South Africa, on the same day. That was revealed 2 days later as it was leaked to the public that Magashule had suspended Ramaphosa. Unbelievable. For their part, Magashule supporters say that the National Executive Committee's meeting was manipulated in Ace's absence. Well, what does this all come from? Ace Magashule is indicted in a case involving 255 million rand on an asbestos cleaning tender in the Free State when he was premier there. He is charged with racketeering, money laundering, corruption, and a host of other crimes. He has been charged for some time. But only recently did the African National Congress realize that the depth of the corruption within the party was making them wildly unpopular with black South Africans. And as they saw their rural base begin to erode, some defecting towards economic freedom fighters, some simply becoming apathetic towards support for the ANC, donations coming into the ANC drying up, the party realized that it was time to at least put a foot forward to pretend that they cared about prosecuting the pervasive corruption within their ranks. And so Magashule, along with a whole bunch of others, were told that they had to step aside if they'd been indicted or charged in a crime. That rule has been around for a very long time in the ANC's constitution, but only now invoked as President Cyril Ramaphosa has once again lost control of his party. Yes. So the folks that support Magashule say that he was, the meeting was manipulated in his absence. For their part, another part of the ANC, the Strategic Dialogue Group, now this is a group led by former Water Affairs Director General Pam Yako, formed back in 2018. They say that the Strategic Dialogue Group believes that Mr. Magashule's ill-judged and futile attempt to suspend President Ramaphosa constitutes a gross offense which necessitates the urgent intervention of the ANC's disciplinary committee, courting expulsion. Well, I did predict that, folks. I suspected that the ANC would expel Magashule. We'll see if it actually happens. This is but one faction of the ANC calling for this. No individual in the ANC has the power unilaterally to suspend another member, most especially she or he who holds a high position of the president. The suspension is devoid of constitutional validity, reads the statement. Well, that's true within the ANC structures, and it's comical because, once again, we see that in South Africa, it's not the nation, it's not the polity, it's not the people that matter. In South Africa, it's the political party that matters. And it really doesn't matter. Today it's the ANC, tomorrow it might be another political party. The way this system is designed, the political party takes precedence over the people. The fact that you don't have direct elections voting for your representatives, but parties get votes or get positions based on allocation and the percentage of votes, means they select who represents you. And who do you think that constituent is going to get help from? That member of parliament? Highly unlikely when they are answerable to the party. And a party that for decades is an unassailable authority like the African National Congress can deploy its cadre to regions throughout the country who have no loyalty whatsoever to the people they supposedly represent, but rather to the Thule House, which has been a major problem and a major contributor to the widespread pervasive corruption and racist legislation that marks the political scene in South Africa today. The Strategic Dialogue Group also said that Mr. Magashule believes that he has such power speaks volumes about his political pedigree. We call on fellow members of the ANC and the activist base of the broad democratic movement to close ranks behind the leadership of the ANC at this juncture. So they're asking for people outside the ANC to support the ANC in removing Magashule. Comrades should turn down mischievous invitations from the counter-revolutionaries a la Daklama and Savimbi who are destroying the ANC, the only vehicle that has the potential to change the lives of our people for the better. Well, I disagree with you. In fact, the ANC has made life far worse for most South Africans. Any reasonable, cogent observer could make that prediction. We've gone from a country in which the majority of the population was oppressed to a country in which the majority of the population is neglected, and the minority is wildly oppressed by racist, bigoted legislation and attacked on a near daily basis by opposition party economic freedom fighters and by members of the African National Congress, including the president himself, who has denied the existence of farm murders to Bloomberg News when he visited New York in 2018. Utter lies, a tissue of lies. For his part, Oliver Dixon, writing in Business Day, writes an op-ed, says, Ace Magashule's suspension is no victory for Ramaphosa, and I'm going to have to agree with him here. Let's take a closer look at what's happening in the African National Congress. As I predicted, when Magashule, when Ramaphosa went up against Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma for the control of the party in December of 2017, and he narrowly won by just 70 votes, take away 35 votes, and at that almost 5,000 delegates have voted, and then, or over 5,000, then we have a different president in Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma this past 3 years. Because, of course, the party picks the candidate, and they had the majority in the parliament, so, of course, their candidate will become the president. So there you go. So Ramaphosa has a weak coalition that supports him, and there are kingmakers, and let's talk about those in just a moment. But Oliver Dixon says that the suspension of Ace Magashule has not strengthened Ramaphosa any more than it has dealt with corruption. The neutralization of Magashule is not and will never be a panacea for the ANC's integrity woes. On that, I have to agree 100% with Oliver Dixon. He's spot on. The ANC is rotten from the core, and it has developed over the past 3 decades, but it has really gained strength since the era of state capture under Jacob Zuma, in which the law was simply ignored and the country is run essentially by gangsters. The idea that Ramaphosa has gained control of the party and its future is a parochial wish rooted in nothing more than naively believing in the myth that there's a good ANC and a bad ANC, and that the good ANC has triumphed over the bad. There is, unfortunately, just one ANC. And for this reason, there is no renewal happening in the ANC. This is a point I've been making for the past 2 years. I was very kind to the ANC in my analysis, hoping that my original anecdotal analysis for people that traditionally, since assuming power in 1994, the ANC had been a party 60% people committed to a constitutional republic, delivering services and protecting the citizens of South Africa, relying on a market-based economy and democratic institutions. And 40% were dyed-in-the-wool communist, socialist, and racist, whose simple goal was to nationalize and steal everything because it's our turn to eat now that we're in power, and we must kill all of the white people and chase them from South Africa. Now, that 60-40 split, as long as it was 60-40 people who supported a democratic, market-based South Africa, there was a chance for South Africans. Once that balance began to become tipped more evenly, or, God forbid, going the other direction, South Africa was in a world of trouble. And for the past 3 years, since Ramaphosa has come to office, ironically, the tipping of the scales has gone that way, owing his position to those in the left who want to pilfer and steal. Ramaphosa has found himself in a delicate balancing wire, trying to being a legitimate governance between legitimate governance and staying in power. And he's chosen staying in power over legitimate governance. Now, he papers over things all the time, talking about corruption, talking about prosecution, talking about things that are important to the country, but he clearly does not run this country and has absolutely no clue what he's doing. Yeah, so for his part, the reason he's in power is because of two rivals. Yes, according to Dixon, he says, Ramaphosa's real political rival has never really been Magashule, which I would agree with, but rather Treasurer General Paul Matshiele and Deputy President David Mabuza. Mabuza, of course, is one of the key figures I've said all along. Either Mabuza or Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma would be the person that, when the factions coalesce around, would displace Ramaphosa. And make no mistake, folks, Ramaphosa, his presidency hangs on a thin wire. And it is owing to those two people, Matshiele and David Mabuza. If it were not for the support of those two people, his presidency would have collapsed already. Of course, in South Africa's ridiculous political system, when you lose your position as president of the African National Congress, you are expected to resign as president. Otherwise, they'll have a vote of no confidence against you. See, it's not a true representative system. It's a parliamentary system, much akin to the United Kingdom, not the United States. The people never voted for Nelson Mandela to be president. They never voted for Cyril Ramaphosa to be president. They voted for them to be members of parliament and they didn't even vote for them to be members of parliament. They voted for the African National Congress, who selected them to represent a constituency and then voted for them to be the president, but essentially the prime minister in many respects. And there you have it, folks. These are many of the problems in the clown car show that is South Africa and the African National Congress. Millions of jobs shed, racist legislation denying people, forgetting that over half the population of South Africa was born after the end of apartheid, yet spending every day blaming apartheid for their abject failures. Well, folks, like sands through the hourglass, these are the days of our lives in the clown car show that is South Africa. Become a subscriber. We welcome you here on Chris White Africa. Thanks a lot, and be safe out there.